First off, I want to visit here with our good friend, the good Doc. And last week online, on social media, I was going back and forth with somebody about what else, events that happened 150 years ago. And I made, of course, and I made the point that I thought that President Lincoln was perhaps, with his second inaugural, was, you know, the most empathetic president of all time. Then I thought about that. Is he empathetic? Is he sympathetic? Am I using that the right way? And my point was he understood, and he kind of put himself in the shoes of the South and turned it back on his fellow Northerners for a bit. And it's gone down as a great unifying speech. But I don't know if I used it quite in the right way. So what about being a sympathetic or an empathetic person? Dr. John B. is here right now, Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing, to join us. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Dave. I think that when you are sympathetic, you're sympathetic for a person. You're empathetic, you're really with the person, you understand. I think a basic definition, I was kind of looking at definitions. This one I thought was pretty good. Empathy is the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within the other person's frame of reference. Also, the ability or capacity to place oneself in another person's position or shoes, so to speak. So it's really where, it's just not where you have pity or you have sympathy, but you really have empathy. You really are tuned in to the person's feelings. You really can understand and be with them in a way. So it's a different kind of a thing. It's a more highly developed level, a state, if you will. I might add, just in reading, women as a collective tend to show much more of this effectively than men do, but that's kind of maybe an aside here. But I think if we want to develop this in ourselves and others, first thing to do is model it. We want to show our children that we do have the ability to have empathy for other persons in difficult, different circumstances. So we try to model it and then explain to our children and also to ourselves in terms of how we feel and why this is an important feeling in terms of developing our own sensitivity and awareness of what's happening to people in our world. And we want to make sure our own views are sound and fair, so because sometimes people won't have empathy because they don't really care for the person, they don't understand the person. So we really want to make sure our views are open and willing to understand problems and circumstances, you know, of other people.
And those views can evolve. Your views can evolve as you become more empathetic and see something from another perspective, walk in those shoes, if you will.
Well, there's no question. I think in life, we want to develop ourselves as empathetic, caring people and reasonable people, okay? And part of that is opening up our frame of reference, trying to determine, you know, what has this person learned in life? My dad always made that point. Whoever you meet in life has learned things in their lives, as strange as they may seem. And if we can understand and, in effect, empathize and tune in to someone, we can better understand the trials and the errors that they've experienced in their lives. And this can help develop this state, if you will, condition of empathy. So it's part of it is understanding the other person's position, understanding the experiences the person's had in their life. And then we listen. We listen and we observe. And then also trying to find out how does the person see things? What resolution do they feel? What resolution have they tried? And just try to really tune in to these feelings and work with people. Because I think if you think of it, if the people you've experienced in your life could be your family, could be friends, could be relatives, people you've worked with, any combination, if you will, of people that you knew were tuned into your feelings, tuned in to how you felt and can empathize and you can talk with them. There are others that might feel sorry. They feel bad for you or even happy. It could be whatever it might be. But it's when that person can tune into you. It's like Cicero actually talked about friends as really being another you, someone that you can relate to and tune into, where you can give your feelings and thoughts without fear of recrimination, and someone who will try to understand, even if they disagree with you, try to have some empathy for how you feel And then if you can do this and you can communicate with the person, you, of course, can help that person be more effective in life.
You have to be another them then, though, too, don't you?
I mean, if you go in a situation where you're that close to the person,
yeah.
Sure, you try to tune in and be with the person and really empathize. I think, Dave, you do that in your work. I do it as a psychologist, as a family member, a human being. But we do it, like you were talking about before, about Portland. I can't even imagine over in the great Northwest, if you will, having that kind of weather up there. So, but again, you are kind of empathizing. You're kind of thinking about the weather, the impact this can have on people, even if it's a general kind of an empathy. It's not like a pity. You know, you're not pitying them in a way. No, you're trying to say that's going to be.
I've walked that walk there before myself, and I know that, A, they're not used to that kind of heat on the west side of the mountains, and even when they get it central and east, the forest fires can then kick up, and then you've got it's a mess. I mean, it's a very dangerous situation. I can see that. Then so let me go back to where I was, even with President Lincoln. Did I use it in the right way or wrong way? Because I didn't think he was in any way sympathetic towards the Southern cause, but I think he understood them as Americans and wanted to. He understood them, and he wanted to bridge that gap. Is that using it in the right way or the wrong way? What do you think?
I believe that would be. See, you know, he was a human being with malice toward none, you know, this type thing. Famous Gettysburg Address.
That came from that second inaugural. That's where we got the malice towards none, and that's what he said.
And that was his point.
Yeah, that was his point, that we need to go forward. He spent more time in that speech pointing at the North and saying, don't feel too haughty about this, than he did tearing down the South. But I think there was a point to that.
Well, I think that you know, when people get into wars, when people fight, when things happen, often they don't really fully understand the full mechanics of everything that's going on. And particularly in the South, where really very few percentage-wise own slaves, it's not like everybody had a slave in their backyard. So it's I think his point was an area had been destroyed. He believed it clearly from a moral, ethical, spiritual point of view was absolutely the right thing to do. But his point was to move forward, to have empathy for people that have lost family, and in terms of malice. It was the idea of being magnanimous, Churchill's kind of thing in victory. Mm-hmm. You're magnanimous in defeat, defiance. And so I think he was a fine human being, and clearly his intent was to pull people together and not have them hate and move forward in a positive way. And
I think he had
empathy. That doesn't mean you completely agree with somebody.
No.
But you can understand the feelings and the attitudes that led people to certain conclusions, and you try to empathize with them. And you're going to help somebody more if you can empathize and understand a position more than if you just pity them, or if you just downright say they deserve it and don't give a heck what happens to them. But no, Lincoln was a very unique human being in a very positive way. And his goal,
his words there when he said in the same address, let us bind up our wounds. That was the plural, our as Americans. And he thought that it would go a long way doing that. And he only lived literally a matter of days. Empathy versus sympathy, and trying to become more empathetic in our lives with others around us. It's really an interesting thing, and it's not so easily achieved at every moment. You've got to work at it. I think I've found that out over. I think you do have to work at it, Doc.
Well, listen, I do, and in the world we're in now, there seems to be a lot of anger and frustration. So
I think we're
better to be working on trying to be really trying to tune into what other people really are thinking. And so I think empathy is a good goal, a good something for us to try to, you know, really develop in ourselves. It makes us, it makes our family, our children, and all people really better human beings. I think bringing out Lincoln as an example is great. There was a man who really was tortured by the whole idea of what happened in terms of the Civil War, but it was something he felt was the right thing to do. But he was not a man who hated people. And he certainly was somebody, in fact, the book, The Team of Rivals, is great, where he showed how he could work with this really diverse group of people many of which really didn't like him at
no,
all.
No, they did. They didn't like him. They didn't have any. But he worked with him and found a way to a point with each of them where he could get the most out of them at a time that the nation as a whole needed it the most. DrJohnB.com. That's the website. Go there. Get all the podcasts on many, many subjects. Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing, our good friend, the good doc, the voice of reason here in a sea of other stuff here in a week. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
I'm very safe with you, my friend. Have a good day.
You too. Morning Wake Up will continue here. Talk about heroic. We'll hear the story of May 1969. Medic James McLuhan, state of Michigan, thrown into it in Vietnam, and thereby hangs a tale. 1320 WILS.